The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Our guest right now covering folks like a Snuggie, Patrick Surtain joining us. Thank you so much for being here. Arguably the best defensive player in this draft, right? Should be a top 10 pick. No, Max, though, this is what I want to focus on. It's actually the Cowboys where a lot of folks have him projected going. Our draft expert. Are you listening up, Stephen A? The Dallas Cowboys. Your father says it would be a perfect fit. Patrick, what would it mean to you to play for Stephen A's favorite team, America's team, the Dallas Cowboys?
First of all, I think it would mean a lot just to get drafted by any team. But Dallas, I know, is a very high culture prior city for the Cowboys. So, you know, I just would take the opportunity and, you know, be thankful for it.
I am talking that right now to the best cornerback in the draft. There's no question about this, what this brother brings to the table. He's special. His father knows it. And I must say, facetiously, albeit, that I'm disappointed that your father would even think about contaminating his son by talking about you being a Cowboy. You don't deserve that. You didn't do anything to deserve that. You're a good guy and you're a great player. You don't the Cowboys don't deserve you. Having said all of that, could you put into words, into your own words, what you believe you will bring to the table for any team that takes you on the NFL level?
Yeah, I think ultimately a team getting an all-around competitor, an all-around great corner that's willing to tackle, that's willing to come, you know, make plays, you know, just come in ready to work with his head held down, you know. You know, I'm just ready for the opportunity that's at hand. You know, I'm just ready to play for whatever team draft me, regardless.
Of course, you guys are champs. Everywhere you look, there's a first-round pick, a high first-round pick, but you went against two guys at receiver in practice who are, you know, who knows who's going to wind up the best receiver. So many of them, great ones, but Devontae Smith and Jaylen Waddle. How could you describe the differences trying to cover each one of those guys?
Yeah, so both of them, you know, they got their own, you know, unique type of play style. You know, Smitty, he's an all-around great receiver. He runs great routes, very smart, got great hands. Waddle, you know, he's a speedster, can beat you downfield deep, and he's also run great routes. So it's sort of like pick your poison, but, you know, going against those guys every day in practice, you know, it was fun. We compete at a high level every day, and, you know, I'm going to miss that, you know, just going against them and preparing for the game. But, you know, they're all-around great receivers.
You know, I asked this question to your teammate, Najee Harris, yesterday, and I ask you the same question as well. Obviously, your talent is so great, you would have been who you are no matter what program you was a part of. But being a part of Alabama, one would surmise, based on the number of first-round picks that come out of the daggone program, well, playing for Nick Saban, there's something special that comes along with it. What do you think being at Alabama does for you on the next level? What do you think coming from Alabama will do for you on the next level that most folks can't say coming from their respective programs?
Well, you know, I think Alabama, you know, shaped everybody up, you know, for the next level because it's such like a professional-like atmosphere, you know, being around a bunch of great guys, a bunch of great resources. And, you know, I think ultimately, you know, going through the my 3 years, I can honestly say that, you know, I've been through everything. You know, I learned everything from the program. And, you know, I think it just helped shape me for the next level. Honestly, you know, just me going there as a freshman to now as a junior, I could ultimately say that, you know, I progressed over the years, and, you know, just building on the tremendous resources, my teammates, the coaches, the whole coaching staff. So, you know, just going through there and understanding what the type of work ethic, the type of program that is ran there, I think it helped, will help me shape for the next level.
So you talked about the difference between Devontae Smith and Jaylen Waddle, pick your poison, and the kind of high-level competition in practice. When you look at the next level, when you look at the NFL, who's the one dude? There are a lot of them, but the one dude who you're like, ooh, I want to match up with that guy. Then I know that that dude is the best. That's the dude I want. Who is it?
Shoot. You know, it's a lot of great receivers, but ultimately I always wanted to go against Julio Jones. I think, you know, he's been, you know, in the league for the longest. He's been through everything. He's been consistently one of the best receivers in the league, and I want to live up to that challenge and go against him.
You've been in Alabama the last 3 years, and in this draft, I mean, I saw Devontae Smith, and I just think this brother's all world, make no mistake about it. He's something special. But they've been talking about how this cat, Jamar Chase, out of LSU, will ultimately get selected ahead of him in all likelihood, and he didn't even play last year. Obviously, he elected to sit out. As a guy that goes up against Devontae in practice, as a guy that's going against Chase, I imagine him being out of LSU because you've been at Alabama for the last 3 years. How do you see that? What do you think about people who believe that Chase should go ahead of Devontae, even though Devontae's your teammate, and obviously he just finished having the season that he had?
Yeah, well, you know, they're both great players. They do what they do best at their respective colleges. You know, they both had great careers. But ultimately, when it comes down to, you know, a team got to pick whatever receiver they want. You know, they both capable of changing the game off their respective positions. So whatever team gets them, you know, they're getting great players. So at the end of the day, you know, it's just all in the hands of teams whatsoever.
All right. We talked a lot about your pedigree with Alabama. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that your father, Patrick Sr., an all-pro cornerback in the NFL himself. So just want to mention that. Patrick, thank you so much for being with us. We'll see you Thursday. So fresh and so clean. Enjoy the whole process. You want to jump in here, Stephen A?
Yeah, I'm saying I love Pops, and I respect the hell out of him and what he did on the NFL level. I was fine with him until he started talking about how it would be great for his son to be a Cowboy. How could you do that? Why would you do that to your son? Why would you do that to him? And that's what I'm wondering about.
4-11.
I got to talk to Pops 11. About that. I really do. I might give Pops a call. I might have to talk to him about that. I really might.
Yeah, give him a call. Yeah. Give him a call. See what
you
think about.
You deserve better. You deserve better than Cowdy's
Patrick,
Cowboy fans.
Good
please.
Luck and enjoy the whole process.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Steve NFL We Go recently announcing changes to what numbers players can wear, including allowing defensive players to wear single digits. Tom Brady apparently not a fan of the new rule. Quote, "Good luck trying to block the right people now. Gonna make for a lot of bad football. Why not let the linemen wear whatever they want too? Why have numbers? Just have colored jerseys. Why not wear the same number? Dumb." Stephen A., do you agree that number changes are bad for football? We're gonna see a lot of bad football now?
I'm not gonna lie to you. I have no idea. But if Tom Brady says it's gonna be bad, I believe him. Now, I know there's a lot of people, there's some people that were speculating he can't be serious. This is no big deal. There are others that are speculating he was joking. He was just be self-deprecating. He was just being self-deprecating to some degree or whatever the case may be. I'm saying, assuming that he's serious, he would know. Now, when you're older, obviously you can be a bit archaic in your thinking, averse to change. And as a result of that, you might not like things, you know, the changes that'll take place. You're out there at the quarterback position. You're looking on a number of jerseys. It's easier to identify defensive personnel, and as a result, you know who exactly you want to exploit and when, because when you're standing in the pocket, you don't get to see people's faces, particularly when they've got on helmets or what have you. You're going by the numbers on their jerseys for all we know when he's looking in the secondary and trying to exploit certain coverages and things of that nature. So he's looking at a defense and maybe it's easier for you to disguise personnel or whatever the case would be. I don't know. I really, really don't know. All I'm saying is that if Tom Brady, who is the man, the GOAT, the reigning defending Super Bowl champion, a seven-time champion, okay? That dude, if he is of the mindset that this is something that's not good for the NFL, I'll tell you this much, I'm not going to dismiss it. I'm going to listen because he would know.
No, he's not really arguing that it's not good for the NFL. Really, if you look, he's arguing it's not good for him. Because he's talking about the offensive line being confused. And what are they charged with? Protecting him. He's got a good one down in Tampa, too. Mm-mm. So, you know, he's looking at, he's watching his own back, basically, by making this comment. And I agree with him. At first, maybe there could be some confusion. Maybe that favors the defense. But why is that bad football? Stephen A., we came up in an era where defensive football was fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the problems the NFL is facing right now is violence is such an attractive part of the sport, such a big part of the reason people love the sport, that they have to figure out how to make it safer, especially for players' long-term health, while not alienating the core fan base, right? I mean, that's one of the challenges that the NFL is tasked with. I used to love to watch. To this day, I don't think I like anything better watching football than Lawrence Taylor lowering that shoulder pad, hitting a quarterback in the small of the back, watching his body do the wave, and watching him cart it out on a stretcher. Like, Giants fans are like, oh, here comes LT. Now, that may be ugly, an ugly part of humanity, right? Like, we like the violence, but that is part of it. You know, so that's part of the appeal of the game. To argue, if Tom Brady wants to argue, hey, this could lead to more injury and that could be a problem for the NFL, maybe marginally, and maybe he'd be right about that. But arguing simply that this might favor the defense and so therefore it's bad for the NFL, I don't buy it. I would say it doesn't favor Tom Brady. At least it looks like it could be a marginal negative for Tom Brady. Well, and so he's putting that out there.
I get where you're coming from with that, Max. I mean, obviously, offensive linemen having a difficult time identifying who to block. You got a quarterback trying to pick up blitzes and what have you. And, you know, somebody like him who's been quarterbacking in the league for over 20 years now, you know, you've grown accustomed to doing things a certain way and it's changing up on you. It might be him exaggerating, embellishing it to a degree. And clearly, he's trying to protect himself. But remember, the NFL were the ones that came up for these rules. And it wasn't just for safety purposes. Similar to the NBA, offense is what attracts an audience. The more points you can put up, the more attractive it is to the viewing audience. And so that might play a role in it as well. So, again, I don't want to blow it up and act like it's a significant thing. He's got to make the necessary adjustments on anything. All I'm saying is for people out there who just summarily dismiss it, it is Tom Brady that we're talking about here. And if he's saying something is bad, whether it's bad for an offense, whether it's bad for a quarterback, if that's what he's saying, that does mean it's bad for football based on what the NFL says they want the game to be. And if that's the reality of the situation, I think it's something that we should not summarily dismiss because we must consider the source. And there is no greater source in the NFL than Tom Brady. But you do have defenses that should be very, very happy because every rule under the sun has benefited offenses over the last few years, not the defense. Don't get Ray Lewis started with that. And so we understand that as well.
Or even guys who just want low numbers, right? Because it's cooler, right? They don't want to wear 57. They'd rather wear 5. I get it.
There's some guys that like single digits instead of the double digit numbers. That's true.
Yeah, they like the star number. I get it. I mean, LT made 56 the number, but that was because it's LT, right? Yeah, I could understand why guys want lower numbers, and I could understand why a dude like Tom Brady's like, this might not be great for me, at least initially. I mean, they'll adjust. They'll figure it out. But maybe early in the season, there might be favorable to the defense.
So running backs,
good. I like defense.
Running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, quarterbacks, offensive linemen, they can all have the same kind of numbers. They can all have numbers 1 through 49.
Right.
I'll leave you with this, since we're talking about Tom Brady and jerseys. His jersey was the number one selling jersey in all of sports last fall. The Max Kellerman family contributed to that. They picked up a few. Obviously, it was his new Bucks jersey. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We welcome in the one and only Trevor Lawrence on behalf of Gatorade. Trevor, man, it's great to see you. You're the projected number one overall pick in this upcoming NFL draft. As this draws near, what are the kind of things going through your mind right now?
Yeah, well, first of all, good to see you again. Yeah. I hadn't seen you since you visited Clemson for a short time, but man, I'm just excited for this whole journey. There's been a lot of work going into it, especially the past 3 years at Clemson, and just it's kind of all led to this moment. And then now, like with the surgery and everything else, all the other hoops to jump through, it's been pretty special getting to lead up to, you know, next Thursday. And, you know, like I said, a lot's gone into it, and just really excited for myself, but also, you know, my family and all the coaches and people that have been in my life that have helped me get here.
We could talk about the media and how media interprets things and things of that nature, but even though I'm a part of the media, I'm going to disassociate myself from the others, because I certainly didn't take wrong what you said a few weeks ago, and I had no problem with it when you basically expressed that you didn't feel like you had anything to prove to anybody and you didn't have a chip on your shoulders. And obviously, you had to come back and clarify your position on such matters. Talk to me about what you meant to say to everybody else and what message you wanted to get across to everyone about who you are as a competitor.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, like you said, you're in the media, you know how things can get blurred, you know, start somewhere and then finishes somewhere else. And you never know how people are gonna interpret things. For me, it was more so, I don't feel like I have anything to prove, not because of what I've done or the success I've had, but just my personality. That's not how I operate. I'm internally motivated. I'm not looking for things to motivate me. You know, I have it all inside. You know, I got goals, aspirations, dreams to be the best I can be, and truly just love the game. And that was kind of the message, was more, I just love playing the game. I'm not motivated by other people. It's really just an internal motivation, and I don't put my whole worth in football. And I know people take that and spin it and turn it into whatever they want, but it just means if football went away, I'd find something else to do, and I'd still have a great life and enjoy my life. But football is where my heart's at. It's what I love to do. It's what I've loved since I was 6 years old. This has been my dream forever, and I really believe no one works harder than me. So I think you can have both. I think people want it to be one or the other. But I think for me, that's been one of the healthiest things, is realizing that this isn't the only thing in the world, you know? Mm-hmm. There's more to it, but also football's been the biggest priority in my life for, you know, ever since I can remember.
Did you want to go to hell off on people and say, excuse me, I was 39-3,
as a starting quarterback with a national championship on my resume. What the hell do y'all care what I think or how I feel? What about what I do? Were you ever tempted to say that to people?
And there's been things like this that come up, not a ton, but a little bit over my career, little things.
Yep.
Spun certain ways, so I'm used to it in a certain sense. But like I said, actions always speak louder than words. I play the long game. Like, it doesn't really matter if I say that or if I would have said football is everything to me. You know, I'm never going to focus on anything else, never going to think about anything else. You still got to go out and perform and execute,
right,
and play well. You know, it doesn't really matter either way. So for me, I'm putting all my eggs in the basket of me performing well and doing what I say and just living up to everything, the expectations I have for myself, not what other people have for me.
You know, people know about your feelings on a lot of different issues, and clearly you organized peaceful protests during the season. You were bringing a lot of attention to social justice issues, and rightfully so, and a lot of people have commended to you about that. But in the age of the NFL, in this day and age, you see a lot of guys taking steps forward, being more vocal about things and what have you, particularly being professional athletes and having the cachet that they have. Coming into the NFL, although you're going to be a rookie, there might be people who will be looking for you to be an extension of yourself to some degree. Just like you were at Clemson, they're going to expect you to be that same guy on the NFL level. Have you thought about that at all? And what do you think about that moving forward, knowing that you're going to be one of the fixtures in the NFL and the face of the NFL that a lot of people are going to be seeing and expecting more from you, not just football?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's something that, like you said, now is becoming more and more common, which is cool to see people have a voice and an opinion in other areas, like we just talked about. You know, not everything is about football. You know, we still have lives and there's issues going on that affect people. So I think that's a positive thing, for one. And then two, for me, you know, it's kind of the same way when I came into Clemson, is I want to earn the respect of the locker room, of those guys, and kind of prove myself to them and not step on anyone's toes, just come in and go to work and earn that respect. And that, once you do that, I think then that's not only, you know, on the field, but that's off the field, and different opportunities come up. And I think that's really how you earn your leadership. I don't think you just walk in and you're automatically a leader. I think you got to kind of earn that and prove it.
Listen, let me ask you this. So I'm a high energy guy. I really am. And the way I look at it, I was saying to myself, you know, I can't believe Gatorade didn't call me. I got energy. I mean, when I drink my Gatorade, I'm inspired and what have you. I mean, why would they call me? And then I looked in the mirror and I said, well, damn, I can't play. But you can. You see what I'm saying? Which is why Gatorade and you have partnered up with one another. Why did you sign with Gatorade, man?
Well, I mean, I have a lot of deep ties to Gatorade just from when I was a kid growing up. That was like the one sports drink that you always see the commercials, you saw all the ads, and then obviously it's the one I was drinking too. So I've always loved it. It's always been a part of my like sports journey, if you will. And then something for me that's important is just trying to surround myself with the best, not just the best at what they do, but the best people. And I really believe Gatorade's the best pretty much in every area when it comes to hydration and all the sports science areas. They're the best. So that was something I wanted to do.
Now they got sugar-free. Now let me test you before I let you go. Grape, cherry, lemon, lime. I mean, what's your, I know what my favorite flavor is. What is your favorite flavor?
So I like so going back to like when I was a kid, me and my dad used to always drink the like Gatorade Rain. Do you remember
okay.
that?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that
absolutely.
Was
absolutely.
So that was our favorite, but I like the Bolt 24s a lot now because I need a little bit of sugar, electrolytes, but it's not as much as the normal one. So I go back and forth between those two. They got a tropical mango flavor.
They got a tropical mango? I didn't know that.
24.
I haven't known that. Gatorade didn't send me any of that. They got did you say tropical mango? Is that what you said? Because
yeah.
I love, listen. One of my favorite when I cheat outside of my Gatorade, one of my favorites is the tropical punch. I love tropical punch with the other drinks, but I'm saying tropical, and I love mangoes because I'm from the West Indies, so I love mango. So tropical mango, they got a tropical mango flavor.
You gotta try it. They got an energy Bolt 24 too, but I don't know if you need any more energy. So
I might need it. Man, all the best, man. Good luck to you on the draft, on draft night. We all know you're going to Jacksonville. No state income taxes in the state of Florida, so you get to keep most of your money. Congratulations with that, bro. Congratulations.
See you today.
All right, my man. Tell Coach I said what's up. Take care.
Yes, sir.
All right, man.
Also, congratulations to Trevor Lawrence, who was recently married. And the best flavor is actually Cool Blue. I don't think there's any debate about that. All right, fellas, let's react to it a little bit. Stephen A., I'll bring you in here. What's your reaction to sitting down with Trevor Lawrence and all he had to say about how he's playing the long game and dealing with the critics, et cetera?
Look, he's a winner. And, you know, what I got, what I deduced from talking to him on camera as well as off camera is that, you know what, winning's a priority for him. But he's not going to walk around letting anybody dictate how he's supposed to go about the business of handling his responsibilities. He thinks he's done well thus far. It's worked for him to be, in my words, Joe Cool. You know, when we talked about Joe Montana, one of the things that was religiously talked about over the years is how they needed that game-winning drive in a Super Bowl. I think it was against Cincinnati when Sam Weich was coaching, if I remember correctly. And Joe Montana walked into the huddle and said, "Isn't that John Candy up there in the stands?" And everybody looked and started laughing and all of that stuff, and how it just relaxed and defused the urgency of the situation for a moment there and got everybody relaxed and focused on the job at hand. What I get from Trevor Lawrence is an individual that knows what he can do, that's very, very confident in what he can do, and he's going to do it his way. He's not going to harbor this mentality that everybody is supposed to think alike in order to ascend to the heights they aspire to ascend to. And I respect that because he has a resume that says it works for him.
Yeah, I would say that I think of Cam Newton and Andrew Luck, Stephen A., when they, you know, Andrew Luck's supposed to be the greatest. Trevor Lawrence is the most celebrated prospect since Andrew Luck at the position. But Cam and Luck came out, you know, number one picks consecutive years, and they were the two best in college during their years. And Cam, it seemed like when he would answer questions, had to run it through a filter like, damn, the thing I really want to say, people aren't trying to hear. And so he would say things that just made you feel awkward when you were listening. Andrew Luck was the opposite. Andrew Luck, you asked him a question, he spat out the answer, and it was perfect. It was the perfect consumable for the football public, loving public, football answer, right? Because he had drank the Kool-Aid a long time ago, and he could just... Trevor Lawrence is neither one of those things to me. I'm very encouraged listening to him talk in that interview, Stephen A., with you, because what he's saying is, look, if you ask me a question, I might have an answer that's not exactly what you're expecting to hear, but that's okay. That's the way I feel about it. I may have to clarify sometimes, but that's all right. And it doesn't feel like either he's running it through a filter to tell you something you want to hear or maybe editing it, and so you feel uncomfortable. And it's also not, here, let me just give you the perfect answer. Whether or not, you know, because I really bought into all this stuff. He has his own way of seeing things. He looks very self-possessed and confident. And if I'm Jacksonville, I'm feeling pretty good right now.
Yeah, Urban Meyer's got to be pretty excited about the new situation. All right, guys, let's move on here. Time for our draft blitz as we preview the 2021 NFL draft. Kicks off this Thursday, focusing on the Cardinals, who own the 16th overall pick in the draft. Arizona got off to a good start last season, but lost five of their last seven games to finish 8-8. Kyler Murray enters his third season as Cards quarterback and got some help this offseason on both sides of the ball. James Conner and A.J. Green on offense, J.J. Watt on defense. We now welcome in two-time Super Bowl champ Damian Woody to the show. Damian, it's been way too long. There you are. Good to see you behind the baby grand and, you know, the artwork and the castle and all that.
So that's what we're doing.
Good morning. Look at the love seat, too. I never really got to see the love seat.
No, you're paying attention to the love seat.
And a lot of sunlight.
We could barely see the love seat, number one. Number two, so we just, no tie, no nothing. We just going to throw on a shirt and just, and that's
it's
just what we're going to do, right?
It's casual Friday, Stephen A.
We're going to show up like that, not even a blazer, nothing. We just going to do it like that, right? That's what we're going to do? That's what we're going to do, D?
You see the scenery behind me. Do I need to do anything else? Yeah, I got a blaze over there, but when I got the scenery behind me, that speaks right for itself. So we're going to get into this conversation or what?
Let me hear you say Rottweiler's by the door.
We say Rottweiler's by the door?
Yeah, you know, in the mansion looking like Biggie Smalls. Go ahead.
That's right.
You know it. I'm repping to the fullest.
Max. Yeah, just ignore them. Ignore the noise. Isn't that what Patriots do anyway? Max, are you confident about the Cardinals' chances in the NFC?
Yeah, I think they have real chances. I mean, the NFC West is a beast. Any of those teams could do it. And any of those teams could come in last. I mean, it's that competitive. But we're talking about a team that was 8-8, which I believe improved in the offseason. It's not just the additions, which were significant. I mean, J.J. Watt went on the field, can still play. And by the way, you notice how former Texan is like, oh, okay. Man, DeAndre Hopkins and this young kid. And by the way, you think guys around the league aren't hearing about Kyler Murray and what it's like to play with him? I'm sure they are. Kyler Murray is the key, of course, though, as important as the quarterback position is. He is an X factor. He made he was at a very promising rookie campaign, made strides in his second season, and the third season is usually when these number one overall picks, if they're panning out, can become MVP caliber players. This is an 8-8 team with an improving quarterback who I expect to be better than 500 this year. How much better will determine whether they can actually take the West, but they're going to be highly competitive in the best division in football by far.
No, it's just real interesting. I mean, before I even get, first of all, I don't believe in Arizona yet. I love the fact that they picked up A.J. Green to join DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray being the quarterback. I'm not enamored with James Conner. Forgive me. I know he's got a beautiful story, and I wish him nothing but the best. But last time I checked, he was a Pittsburgh Steeler. In the last 3 years or so, Pittsburgh had one of the worst running attacks in football. It ain't just because of the offensive line. He has something to do with it as well. I'm not saying it's all his fault, but damn it, he ain't innocent, okay? So I look at it from that standpoint. It remains to be seen. I think Chase Edmonds, I think that's his name. I think that's the guy that you know, he'll be competing for that spot with. I just love the fact that, and I'm being facetious here, guys. I mean, when you think about Cliff Kingsbury coming out of Texas Tech, coaching there for 6 years, you know, only having a winning record twice, 35-40 record, and he gets an NFL head coaching job. And in two seasons, he's 13-18, I think, something like 13-18-1. And yet, Kyler Murray's his quarterback, and DeAndre Hopkins is his wide receiver, and now A.J. Green is joining DeAndre Hopkins with Kyler Murray throwing the football. I just love the fact that the most popular thing about this dude as an NFL coach is the crib that he was living in and chilling at last year during the NFL draft. That's the best thing we can say about Cliff Kingsbury. The crib is fly. Hell, I want to buy it, okay? Where is it? I want to see it. Because that's how fly that crib was during the virtual NFL draft last year. That's the only thing we could say about him. Yet, his second year on the job, or approaching his third year, Max, he gets DeAndre Hopkins last year. He gets A.J. Green this year. T.J. Watt this year. I'm sorry, J.J. not J.J. Watt. I'm sorry, J.J. Watt. Right. It's special to be privileged. It's special to be privileged. That I'm just going to leave it at that. Having said all of that, it's not that I think the Cardinals are bad. It's not that I don't see that they have talent. It's not that I don't think they can beat anybody. It's that I look at the division, and I see three teams that are better, and there's only four teams in there. I think the Rams are better with Matthew Stafford. Probably. I think Seattle still has Russell Wilson. And I think the San Francisco 49ers, with Debo Samuel's back, with George Kittle still there, with Jimmy Garoppolo expected to be there, okay, with Mostert in the backfield, with the defense, the Bosas of the world and others coming back because he was hurt last year. I just look at San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan being the coach there, and I see three teams in the West, NFC West, better than the Arizona Cardinals. It's not that I don't think they're good and talented. I just see three teams that are better. That's where I'm at with it.
Well, listen, I think that when you look at the Arizona Cardinals this past offseason, they've made a bunch of moves on both sides of the ball. We pointed some of those moves out. And I don't think they're finished bolstering their offense. I think they could go for another wide receiver, even though, you know, A.J. Green came over in free agency from Cincinnati to give Kyler Murray even more weapons on the offensive side of the football. I think this really comes down to coaching. We all know the NFC West is the best division in football. And Stephen A. and Max, y'all both touched on the teams. And, you know, you got Pete Carroll up in Seattle. They're always going to be formidable. You got Matthew Stafford coming over from the Lions. I think that's a game changer for the Los Angeles Rams. It gives him another dynamic player at the quarterback position, something they didn't have with Jared Goff. And then you have the 49ers. Listen, the 49ers is going to be my Super Bowl representative out of the NFC this year. I think with all the injuries that the 49ers sustained last year, all those guys coming back, I think the 49ers are going to be fantastic this year. Kyle Shanahan is going to have those guys rolling. And again, and you alluded to it, Stephen A., when you only have – there's four teams in the division, and you have those stalwarts in that – as far as coaching in that division, are we willing to put up Cliff Kingsbury against Kyle Shanahan, Pete Carroll, and Sean McVay? I'm not ready to do that. They were 8-8, but I'm not ready to do that. And I think coaching matters more so in the NFL than any other division. I mean, any other sport. And that's why I don't see the Arizona Cardinals making their way out of that division into the postseason this year.
Well, I'll be nice enough not to get on you about the San Francisco 49ers and how you just threw the black cat in there by picking them as a team to come out of the NFC, considering your record of picking teams
I'm letting it be known now.
I don't know. It takes about a decade to recover
from that.
That
was 2 years ago. Why are you bringing up old stuff? That was 2 years ago.
That matters. It takes about a decade to recover from that atrocious pick. Okay? But I will say this in all seriousness. Isn't it amazing? Yo, Max Kellerman, the last 3 years at Texas Tech, not Texas, not Alabama, not LSU or someplace, at Texas Tech, the last 3 years, Cliff Kingsbury coached there. He was 5-7, 6-7, and 5-7, and got a head coaching job in the NFL. It's amazing. I mean, it's really touching to see. You know, how these folks, I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, clearly there's a process that's being followed, a criteria to be an NFL head coach, right? Right, Damian? Clearly there's a process. I mean, damn.
It's the two C's, Stephen A. Complexion and connection, as Muhammad Ali used to say.
How about that?
I'll say this, though. I think you guys are both sleeping on the potential. I'm not saying it's a slam dunk, but the potential of Kyler Murray. Because when you look at the quarterbacks, look, a lot of this is going to come down to quarterback play among equally talented teams. Not that they're exactly equally talented, but they're all very good. And Matthew Stafford has to show that he's a winner. We know he's always had elite talent. But now it's going to be really interesting. Okay, Stafford, you got every single thing you could want now. You're not in Detroit anymore. You got a defense. You got an offense. You got a coach. Let's see what you can do. Because Jared Goff took this team to the Super Bowl. Let's see what Stafford does. And that's because it's going to really shape how we view his career, how he does with the Rams, especially this year. Let's see. He has to go out and prove it. And the Niners, Garoppolo's got to stay healthy. I don't care if they draft whoever, whether it's Justin Fields or Mac Jones or Trey Lance. It's probably going to be Mac Jones from everything we're hearing. That's the rookie. He's probably not going to be the quarterback. The quarterback's going to be Garoppolo, who can't stay healthy. Otherwise, they got a rookie quarterback. You're going to go to the Super Bowl with that? They got to stay healthy. Otherwise, I probably agree with you. They're probably the class of the division still, Damian. But it's really tough, and Seattle still doesn't have a defense. And Russell Wilson just threw his offensive line under the bus. No, it's good. This division very well could be. We've seen Kyler Murray excel as a rookie, get better as a second-year player. Can he take the step that a lot of guys do in their third year and become a superstar? It is not out of the question that he could be the best quarterback in the division this year. Not out of the question. And if that happens, Cardinals probably the best team.
All right. 8 wins last season, can only go up from here. All right, fellas, let's move on to Chi-Town, Chicago. Struggling for some time now. All right, they were 8-8 last season, but did make the playoffs. The big question that a lot of Bears fans have is what will they do at quarterback? Trubisky out, Dalton is in, plus they still have former Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles. Max, what is the dream scenario for Chicago at the quarterback position?
I think the guy with the highest floor of the guys likely to be available is Justin Fields. And I think there's a good chance he could slip to like 9 or something like that. Like basically almost out of the top 10, but not quite. Chicago got to trade up and grab him. Trade up and grab him. I think Justin Fields will be a good NFL quarterback. At least he has all the tools. And the Bears cannot sell their fan base. Not only just going into this year, Andy Dalton's the quarterback. Well, that could wash if you're grooming a young guy. They're going to put that off another year. The 85 Bears might have been the greatest football team of all time. They didn't have a great quarterback, but they had a good enough one in Jim McMahon, who came out last week and said the Packers were the best franchise he ever played for. He was a third-string quarterback when they won the Super Bowl with Brett Favre. You know what that does to Bears fans? A football-crazy Bears town, duh Bears, right? It's been how many decades since they won a Super Bowl, and even then they didn't have a quarterback, and they haven't had a quarterback since then. You know, if Jay Cutler is top three in your franchise's history, at least in the Super Bowl era, you're not doing something right. They have to get quarterback right. If Justin Fields starts slipping, they better jump up and grab him.
The Chicago Bears have only had two playoff appearances in the last 10 years, since 2010. That was also the last time they won a playoff game, 2010. Should they move up? Yes. Should they move up to get Justin Fields? Absolutely. Or Trey Lance, by the way. If somebody is foolish enough to let him fall to a point where the Chicago Bears could possibly land him at 20 or move up in the draft to get him. But I will say this, and I think this is the only thing to say. It's hard to fathom why Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace is still there. It really, really is. Because considering how important draft picks are, when you move up in the draft to draft a product out of North Carolina named Mitchell Trubisky that nobody really had ranked that high, and you are on the record as being the team who moved up in the draft to have the number two overall pick, and you passed up on Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. If you did it, guys, to get some elite offensive lineman or some elite linebacker or a pass rusher, something like that, Damian Woody, you feel what I'm saying? That's different. But when you moved up to take a quarterback and you picked the wrong dude so flagrantly to the point where not only did you pass up on Patrick Mahomes, not only did you pass up on Deshaun Watson, but you've already let go of Mitchell Trubisky. He's not even on your squad. I think it takes a generation to recover from that. And I just look at Nagy and Pace, and I'm not going to lie. I'm not even judging everything else. I'm looking at that decision alone, and I'm saying, why are you still employed by the Chicago Bears franchise? I mean, if draft picks mean what they tell us it means, Max, you pay attention to that because of the analytics. Damian Woody, you're a Super Bowl champion. I feel free to correct me. I cannot believe that you could make that egregious of an error and still get to make other decisions. I'm sorry. I just look at that, and I'm not bringing up anything else that they've done. I'm just saying that decision to move up, to surrender first-round picks, to position yourself for the number two overall pick, to pass up on Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, and then turn around and don't even have the guy that you picked on your squad any longer. He in Buffalo now as a backup. Why are they making decisions? Why? Why?
Man, I can't explain why. Listen, it's real simple for me for the Bears. You cannot roll into this season with Andy Dalton as your quarterback. I'm sorry. You cannot, if you're the Chicago Bears, roll into this thing as Andy Dalton as QB1. Okay? This fan base has been clamoring for hope, something. They need to spice it up. And if you're the Chicago Bears, if you're Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, you're beyond the hot seat, okay? We can't even say that this is the hot seat for them. They have to make a move to stir this thing up, to give Bears fans hope, to potentially challenge. Because guess what? Aaron Rodgers is still in Green Bay. Do we believe that Andy Dalton can challenge Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers this year? Hell no. Now, you go out there, if you're the Chicago Bears, you make a bold move to go up and get a Justin Fields or a Trey Lance, okay. Now, that telling your fan base, look, we're all in. We're all in to try to find that quarterback. Because if there's one thing you got to do, you have to find a quarterback. You got to keep trying. Keep drafting one. You have to keep doing that. You cannot roll Andy Dalton. I'm sorry.
Can't get gun shy because it didn't work out with Trubisky. Got to keep taking those shots.
Hey, guys, I know we're living in a virtual world. I'm not sure it happened, but I think I recall there was some kind of virtual press conference when Andy Dalton was signed and stuff like that, and they made a big deal. It wasn't even worth the press conference, virtual otherwise. You actually sat up there and tried to make back page news by announcing Andy Dalton.
Well, they got a virtual QB1.
He'll be with us next week. Devontae Smith will be with us next week. We've got a ton of draft coverage. Our draft list will continue with Stephen A. Steelers. Will they go running back with the 24th pick? And also the Browns picked up Baker Mayfield's fifth-year option. They did not sign him to a long-term deal, which they were eligible to do so. We'll see you all on Monday. Have a fabulous weekend.